I believe most Christians believe, at least in principle, in prayer. And they say they know it works. But it kind of confuses things and clouds matters when there are these prayers that are full of fluff. They sound good, but they have no real content. You know, some prayers are so vague, you really don't exactly know what's being prayed. Here's one. And Lord, may you be with this person in a special way. What exactly does that mean? It's kind of full of fluff. Now, if you want to see some prayers full of fluff, listen to the prayers at a presidential inauguration. Here's our most recent presidential inauguration. The prayer ended with these words. Be with us, holy mystery of love, as we dream together. Help us under our new president to reconcile people of our land, to restore our dream, and to invest it with peace and justice and the joy that is overflow with love. Full of buzzwords in there, but not a prayer to Jesus. No real needs. Lots of fluff. Well, sometimes prayer is a formality. In other words, people aren't really listening to it. You just do it because you've always done it. Some prayers show off the person speaking. The person's voice changes. And dear Father of all, they break into the stained glass voice. They try to sound so holy. They try to sound so venerable. And Jesus illustrated this in a parable where the Pharisee stood and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers and evildoers and even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. Now, such praying is just useless. But with prayers like these, you can see why people in the world sneer at Christians who believe in prayer. But prayer is about real life. It's about worries in our lives. It's about bills. It's about things that we struggle with. It's about difficulties that keep us up in the middle of the night. I began this series with a sermon on how God wanted to hear from us and He wanted to meet our needs. But how do we do it? What do we say to God? What do I do when I don't get an answer from God? So let me give you, let's focus on a couple questions today to give us some clarity. The first question is, what do I ask God for when I pray? So Jesus gives us some very specific teaching on asking. And today we're again going to look at the Lord's Prayer. So let's recite this together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus, before he gave this prayer, he said, when you pray, these are the things that you pray about. So we start by coming to God as our Heavenly Father. We praise him. We worship him for his majesty and his glory, for he dwells in heaven. We praise him because he's the king of a mighty kingdom. We pray for his will to be done in our lives. The focus is all on God, not on ourselves. We ask for his will to be done in our lives and his will to be revealed. But then we come to ourselves, our needs, and that's the next phrase. Give us this day our daily bread. Prayer is a reminder that we depend on God daily. Now, we're all reminded time to time, even this week, of times when we haven't been in control of our lives, right? We go to the doctor and he finds a problem. There's cancer diagnosis. There's Wendell, the heart attack, unexpectedly. It reminds us that we're all dependent on God. If God stopped caring for us, everything would be over. Today, I was thinking about, it's like power outages around here. If it gets too windy here, we start getting nervous, don't we? Like, oh no, it's getting pretty windy out here. I guess we're going to be out of power for a few hours. Just a windstorm can knock power out. We could have a storm and it could knock power out for a week. Depending on the depth, that we could be out of power for a month. We could, depending on the storm. We are all in the hands of God. Acts 17:25 says that God gives life and breath. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus wants us to trust Him today and every day. This assumes that we're going to talk to Him every day. Now, some people assume they can get all their praying done on Sundays. Just show up for church, listen to a couple prayers, pray once during the worship service, and that's going to cover them for the whole week. But that's not what the Scripture says. It says we pray daily, literally day to day. We come to God with our needs for today. Tomorrow, we talk to Him about our needs for tomorrow. We live one day at a time. We come to Him every day. Notice the word bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Why bread? Bread was a basic necessity for hunger. So we come first with our needs. What we eat, what we wear, our physical health, our shelter, place to live. Today, in our today's world, basic transportation. That's a need. Well, someone asks, well, I need to come to God and pray for basic things like these? I already have all these things already. Well, if you already have them, then take the time to thank God for them. Every day, we should be thanking God in our prayer time for meeting our most basic needs. This is what Jesus means when He says this. Why? Why do I have to do this every day? Because we have short memories. So let me give you a hypothetical situation. Let's just say the federal government, just this is all hypothetical, the federal government sent you a card. I got to happen to have one up here. The federal government sends you a card, and on this card is a generous financial gift. And this happens, and every month or every week, something appears on this card, money. And you get to use this money to buy any kind of food that you want. Every month, that just appears on the card. It didn't cost you anything. You just signed up, and you were given a free debit card. And every week, that money just appears. So would you be thankful for that card? Well, maybe at first, right? Maybe like the first week, the first month, first couple months. But after a while, after a year, you might start thinking, well, you know, this is really good and everything, but I need more money on my card. I need a raise. I'm not getting enough on my card. So I'm going to throw out just a hypothetical situation. Just imagine if the politicians did something really crazy and they decided to stop sending you that free money on the card. So what do you think would happen? Well, there'd be anger, wouldn't there? There'd be rage, and there'd be riots. There'd be riots in the streets. And if you had a card, you might be one of the ones that want to get out and riot also. And the idea would be, you're taking away my money. So when you give something to somebody for free, which God does for us, and you don't expect anything returned, not even a thank you, people are not going to appreciate it. I believe that's why God wants us to come to Him every day. Thank Him every day for meeting our basic needs. It keeps us humble. It reminds us that God has taken care of us. Now notice it says bread. It doesn't say steak. Now although today a steak is getting to be quite an extravagance, but our prayers are starting to be pretty extravagant, aren't they? Sometimes we're like the prodigal son demanding money from our Heavenly Father. We come to God with demands instead of our needs. I know TV evangelists that sporting around sneakers that were worth $3,000. And then they were explaining it to everyone that this, the reason I have these sneakers is because God has blessed me. And I'm just showing you what God can do if you trust Him. So I'm going to show you how much I have so that you'll trust God. Didn't work out that way. That idea did not come from Jesus. So what are we supposed to pray for? So listen to these words from Paul. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, and I'm going to look at verse 6 through 9. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish, harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Here's what the apostle is saying. If you have what you need, you have everything. Now, there's nothing wrong with wealth. Jesus just said if you have wealth, a lot of wealth, it's harder for you to enter heaven because wealth brings great temptation. Jesus never promised us wealth. He never promised us health. He warned us that it's easy to become addicted to money and happiness through possessions. He calls it a trap. Very simply, if we have enough food, if we have enough clothing, if our basic needs are met, then we are to be content with that. We thank God every day for those simple things. And when you come to God every day and you thank Him for meeting your needs, and you tell Him what needs you have, you're going to be surprised because God is going to bless you with more than you've ever asked for. But what happens when you pray for a real need and there's no answer? And you pray for this need over and over and still nothing. Well, one of the things that happens is you become discouraged. And that leads us to our second question. How do I deal with discouragement in prayer? Now, over in the Gospel of Luke, we have the Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. And after this prayer, he tells them a parable that deals with our issue. So turn with me to Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread.' A friend of mine, on a journey, has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of our friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." So let me give you some reasons why people get discouraged when they pray. One reason is because we're not consistent in prayer. Jesus gives a hypothetical situation. He tells his hearers to imagine a situation where you don't have enough bread. Now, I know we can't relate to this illustration because we have everything we need in our houses. And as far as I know, none of you are on the verge of starving. I just have this feeling that you're not going to starve, and that you may not have all the groceries you want, but if you were really hungry, you could dig around in your refrigerator or your cabinets and you could find something. You're not going to starve. So we can't really relate to this part. But Jesus gives a real situation that his hearers could relate to of not having any food and having a visitor friend stop by who's hungry. Now, in that society, you were obligated to help people that came to you if they had a need. If they needed a place to stay, if they needed food, you were obligated to take care of them. You provided for them. It was expected in that society. And Jesus says, imagine your friend comes unexpectedly in the middle of the night, and you are left in a desperate situation. Now, this is the part we can relate to. Because if we have a need in the middle of the night, most of us can't just run up to town, right? We just can't run up to town 5 miles up the road. We're not going to find anything up there. It's going to take an hour drive, round trip, to go find something if we really need it. So we're only left with one option if we have a big need, and that is to wake somebody up in the middle of the night. And Jesus says, if the need's great enough, you're going to do it. And Jesus says, imagine you go and wake up your friend, and they're not happy to see you. So how many of you know somebody that when you wake them up in the middle of the night, they are not happy to see you? Anybody like this? Yeah. So you might be the one, you know, not me. Some people wake up grumpy. Some people wake up angry. Some people have got slugged because they've been woke up in the middle of the night. Jesus says, you wake up your friend, and the friend says, don't bother me. My door's locked, my family's in bed, and I can't help you. So I was trying to think what would happen today. If you knocked on somebody's door around here in the middle of the night, you might be greeted with a gun. So not exactly the same culture here, but Jesus says, but if you keep on persisting, you know your friend will eventually give you what you need. Of course, Jesus is talking about prayer. This is how prayer feels sometimes. You have a need, a desperate situation, and you pray about it, and the answer you're asking for doesn't happen. And you pray over and over, and there's still no answer. Every single Christian, I'm sure, has been through this. And you become discouraged, and you're tempted to stop praying. But prayer is too important to let discouragement stop you. So when you pray, don't get discouraged. Don't quit too soon. Keep on praying for the need. Keep praying for it for days and for months and for years. Christians haven't got the answer sometimes because they've quit too soon when they prayed. This is why prayer needs to be daily. This is why it has to be consistent, not just to the last minute, not when things go wrong, not when you find yourself upset or angry. We have to develop that daily time of prayer to take those daily needs to the Lord. This is going to head off discouragement if you'll pray every day. And then when real needs come up, you'll be prepared. Now, another reason for discouragement is because we pray without truly trusting God with our need. Jesus gives this scenario where you find yourself in a desperate need, and so you go to someone for help. So let's pause right here. This in and of itself can be challenging because we don't like to ask for help, do we? No. I was thinking back when I was growing up, my mom would say, and I hated when she did this, she'd give me a container and she'd say, I need you to go to the neighbors and borrow some sugar. I'm like, oh, I hated this job, you know. So I tried to find a little graphic to show you how I felt when my mom did this. Yeah, that was me. Like, oh, do I have to do this? I have to go and ask for sugar for my neighbor, you know. So I'd sheepishly walk over and knock on the door, you know. My mom wanted me to ask if she could borrow some sugar. Maybe it was an egg, whatever it was. I hated doing that. I hated asking. I think they were always helpful. They always helped out. But I hated doing it. It was just an embarrassing thing, asking for the neighbor for something like that. And walking back with this little thing of sugar. Yeah, it was embarrassing. Anyway, but I think a lot of people are just proud. They're too proud to ask for things because we're self-made people. We're self-determined. We have earned what we have ourselves. So sometimes when we pray, we're not really asking God because we are really determined in our minds. We're going to fix it ourselves. Now we're going to go through the motions. But we still do everything to fix it ourselves. Or maybe we resist asking God. I'm not going to pray about that. I can take care of that myself. We're too proud. It's kind of like going to the doctor. We're having a health problem and we should go to the doctor, right? Somebody says, I'm not going to the doctor. I'm not going to the doctor. Putting it off. You should go to the doctor. No, I'm not doing that. That's what we do with God sometimes. I'm not going to pray about that. So with this frame of mind, you can see that even if we do pray, we're really not trusting God with the need because it makes us look weak. But the sooner we come to God saying, I'm weak, Lord God, I need you. I need you to help me, Lord. I'm too weak. I can't do this. The sooner we confess that to God, the sooner we're going to really start praying. It's hard for someone who's been a hard worker, who considers themselves a financial success, to succeed in prayer, because they might go through the motions and they might say the right things, but in their heart of hearts, they're not trusting God. They're trusting themselves. So when you pray like this, it's very discouraging, because there's no answers when there's no trust. Now, a third reason for discouragement in prayer is because we shy away from emotional pain. Now, in the parable, Jesus says, imagine you have a real need for bread, and you have a visitor who needs food, and you're obligated to help him. It's midnight, and you wake up your friend at midnight. Let me pause right here. It takes a lot of humility to wake somebody up at midnight, doesn't it? It does. Have you ever been up at night and you're just busy and you're thinking, you know, I should give so-and-so a call. I got a question. You look down at your phone, it's 11 o'clock. You're like, I don't think I want to wake them up. So you don't wake them up. I'll just talk to them in the morning. We don't want to wake people up. But in this parable, Jesus says you wake them up at midnight and you ask for help and they turn you down. Now, if I would have been this person in this scenario, I probably would have said, oh, no problem, thanks. Bye-bye. Going home, tail between my legs, kind of embarrassed that I got turned. We don't want to be rejected, right? And we don't want God rejecting us either. We pray to God. We expect an answer right away. We get upset at times when God doesn't answer quick enough for us, for what we've asked. There's some folks, they stop coming to church, they've walked away from God, and they say it's because they prayed and God let them down. Well, at least they say that's the reason. I suspect there's something else there. But they say that God didn't answer them, so they're not going to be a Christian. The parable teaches us that prayer can be emotionally painful at times. Do you remember Jesus in the garden? This is from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It says, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him. Prayer at times is a conflict. Jesus pictures his hearers going to a friend asking and they're rejected and they push back. And that's what prayer is sometimes. Prayer can be so difficult sometimes. Prayer can be so grueling sometimes. This causes some people to become discouraged. At times we pray and we have to reach into the depth of our emotions and plead with God. I don't know if you've ever prayed like that. But that's what prayer is sometimes. Jesus pictures his hearers going to a friend, pleading, and eventually the friend gives in. Not because of friendship, but because of shameful audacity. Other translations say boldness, persistence. The fact is, God loves us, he wants to help us, but sometimes he wants to teach us that we have to learn patience. Sometimes the timing isn't right. So what happens when this person persists, his friend will surely give up and give you as much as you need. So what this tells me is that if I pray about something I need and I persist and it's a valid need, it's eventually going to happen. Somehow, some way, it's going to happen. If it's a true need, God knows what's best. Well, friends, we don't pray because we can see the answer. We pray to the one who knows the answer. We have faith. We take God at his word. We know that he's promised to hear us. We know that he's promised to meet our needs. Don't become too discouraged. Don't shy away from prayer because it's tough. If we could figure out the answer, remember this, we wouldn't need to pray. Faith is trusting God when we cannot see the answer. Now, we've been in this series for several weeks, so have you given up praying? Have you become discouraged? Don't give up. God's going to surprise you. His Spirit will give you new life. He'll give you determination if you continue to persist in prayer. So my challenge, as you pray every day this week, I want you to focus on your needs, your real life heartfelt needs. Things that you're worried about. Give those to God every day. Plead for an answer, and He will hear you. Now, this sermon was done several weeks ago, and I have a story that I want to share with you that's difficult to share, considering everything that's happened. But I've always believed that when I plan a sermon, that I go ahead and go with the sermon regardless of what has happened. Because sometimes we pray for something a long time, and we have no answer. Sometime back, I heard a story that touched me so deeply from a woman named Donna. So I reached out to her, and I said, I want to know the details of your story. So she told me what happened. She and her husband, Bill, had been married for 46 years. She's a Christian, and he wasn't a Christian through her whole married life. And she had prayed for her husband's salvation, and Bill was just a strong guy. I think I got a picture of him up here. Yeah, he was a manual machinist. And so he worked with his hands. He was a craftsman. But Bill rarely went to church with her, and he developed some health challenges. But as a proud, strong man, he continued to resist God. And when the pandemic hit our country, Bill caught COVID, and he faced a major health emergency. He was taken to the hospital. He was put on oxygen, and he was told that they wanted to keep him. Well, Bill, being the proud man that he was, refused. He said he wasn't staying, and he left the hospital, and they couldn't keep him. He checked himself out without doctor's orders, and they got home. I gave him a little food about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and he was comfortable. He was sitting on his recliner. About 11 p.m., things started to change with his breathing. His chest was hurting. His daughter tried to tell him he needed to call 911, but Bill refused. At this point, Donna knelt at his feet and asked if he could pray, if she could pray for him to be healed. So she prayed a short prayer for him, and when she finished, she asked her husband if he would like to accept Jesus as his Savior. And he said, yes, yes, that's all he could do, just to get the words out. So she went through some scriptures in Romans, and she led him in a prayer. They touched foreheads, and she watched tears flowing down his face. His last words were these, "Honey, I love you. I believe, I believe, I believe." He stopped breathing. He clenched his chest. Efforts were made to revive him and failed. And she told me, "I have hope that I will see him again." Prayer sometimes takes years, but God always answers. He always answers in His time. And my prayer is if there's somebody that's hearing these words that needs to accept Jesus, may you hear the Lord's voice. May you believe. May you turn from your sin. May you be obedient to Him in baptism. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would work right now to convict anyone that has a hard heart towards You. May You break their heart. May You open their eyes. May they turn their life to You. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.